Hey everyone, this is Brian from Many Sided Media. Recently, ICE has once again murdered an American citizen in Minnesota, but the citizens of Minneapolis are showing up for their community to resist this violence. We make shows about games and imagination and all the silliest things in life, but we also want to support the people of Minnesota. So here is how we are going to start. This month, we are going to be matching donations to the Women's Foundation of Minnesota and their Immigrant Rapid Response Fund. These donations will help organizations that support and protect immigrants by providing human services and legal services to immigrant communities under attack. We are matching all donations up to $500, so if you send us a receipt or proof of donation on social media or by email to manysidedmedia@gmail.com, we will match your donation in kind. Not only that, if you donate any amount over $20 anytime this month and let us know about it, we will also send you a code for a free month to our Patreon. This month, we're going to be putting out talkbacks for Perils and Princesses, some original music from that season, plus a special two-part Die series with guest GM Kieran Gillen and guest player Nathan Yaffe. So not only will you be donating to a great cause, not only will your generosity be doubled by the folks here at Many Sided Media, but you will also get a bunch of great TTRPG content as well. So once again, go to WFMN.org and donate to the Immigrant Rapid Response Fund. Let us know that you did, and we will match your donation and send you a free month of our Patreon. While times right now may feel dark, remember that individually, things may seem hopeless, but united as a community, we can make great change. So just do one thing every day. That's really all I'm trying to do. Just one thing. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's volunteering in your community, meeting your neighbors, going to a protest, signing a petition, or finding some other way to get involved in your community. Every step that we make towards a better tomorrow is frustratingly imperceptible. But if we just keep making them, then one day we may actually find ourselves in that better future that we all hoped for. And with that, enjoy the show.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Elliot.
What's the talk of the table?
Welcome to week three of our Zine Month series here on Talk of the Table. Zine Month is one of our favorite times of the year, and we love to celebrate it this entire month because we always enjoy talking to first-time and up-and-coming designers and seeing what they're working on, what new things are coming to the space, because Zine Month is exactly the time for new stuff in the tabletop community. And today, we are talking about two games that we're really excited to tell you about. First up is Lie to Him, which uses a Jenga tower and tarot cards to tell stories about deception. And then we're going to be talking about WFH, a corporate horror game played over Slack. Hello and welcome back to Talk of the Table. Today we are joined by Michelle Kelly to talk about her new solo game, Lie to Him. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
Welcome.
Great to have you. We love bringing on a bunch of new people for Zine Month. It's great to learn about all these new games, all these new creators. This is great. I'm excited.
It's so exciting.
So at time of recording, we get the joy of, I always love when we're on a recording, we can already say, congratulations on funding, Lie to Him.
Thank you.
But we're still, you know, we still got a lot of Zine Month left. There's still a lot of runway for this game to keep funding and keep, supporting the work you've done. I know there's a stretch goal at the time you haven't reached that says Michelle gets paid. So I actually insist that you reach that.
Thank you.
Yes.
That needs to happen. But this game, Lie to Him, could we start out? Could you give us the elevator pitch for Lie to Him?
Yeah, absolutely. Lie to Him is a solo role-playing game about honesty and dishonesty. It uses a tumbling block tower and tarot cards to generate minimalist open-ended prompt so that you can tell any kind of story you want. Is it a fantasy setting? Is it a sci-fi setting? Is it set in the real world? There's only one constant. You must lie to him.
Really good. Love that. I just love when a pitch is in the title. That's like, it's great.
Listen, I'm not a marketing expert, but I'm really passionate about this game. So I talk about it a lot. So hopefully I've managed to get it down to a short couple of punchy sentences at this point. But the game uses an SRD, which is basically a standard sort of rule system developed by a guy called Michael. He's known online as Innocent Goblin TTRPGs. He's made some brilliant games. And shout out, he's also crowdfunding right now for a game called The Hawthorne Effect. So shout out for that crowdfunder as well.
Hell yeah.
But he developed this rule set called the Standing Ovation SRD, which is all about making games to do with performance. He ran a game jam in, I want to say, April of 2025 that I joined to try and make some games using that. And I got really interested in the idea of lying as a form of performance. A sort of intimate two-person performance. So I used that. I wrote up a very quick and dirty demo, which was cool, but had a lot of balancing issues. And I threw it up on Itch for free and said, I did this. And some people left some really lovely comments along the lines of, this seems great. It doesn't work. The numbers don't work. And I'm like, cool, thanks.
cool.
But I just kept thinking about it. I really liked the concept and what I'd made for that little game jam. So this has been a chance for me to sit down, rework the rules completely, and then bring in some amazing collaborators to make it much bigger and better than I was able to make for that little game jam.
This is a great pairing with, we just did an interview with the folks from Breitbart Games about their game Axolotl with a Gun, and has a very similar development history in that it was a very quick turnaround. It was kind of made like in collaboration with an illustrator, or like made for like a zine month type thing. Went up on Itch, and then they also discovered they had like an infinite rolling dice glitch in their game. We're like, okay, well, we're gonna patch that game. but it is just like such a testament to what like the spirit of Zine Month is, and like the spirit of just like indie TTRPGs is like, throw it up before it's ready and like see what breaks and moves, and then take the pieces back and be like, all right, this is still a great idea. Let's tweak and build and iterate. And all of a sudden now we have a thing that is coming out for Zine Month in this like, you know, already funded, fancier packaging.
Yeah, it's I'm really grateful to some dear friends of mine who helped with the playtesting as well. Sam Langford, who runs an actual play studio called Who Hurt You Actual Plays, playtested it, and then actually recorded a solo AP of himself playing the game, which was terrific.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
And then JC Darcy, who's my colleague at EUphoria Actual Plays, did some playtesting for me, which was super helpful. And one of the community in the EUphoria Discord, who goes by the handle Reprobate Gamer, also took the time to playtest it for me and sent over the narrative they wrote. So those three are just like, love them to bits for helping me make sure. I kind of sent them the file and said, hopefully this works now. Please make sure it works when it's somebody who's not me testing it, and that the rules make sense when it's not me who knows what it's supposed to do is doing it. And thank goodness they all said, yeah, it works now. And I'm like, great.
Hell yeah.
Tick. That means I can start crowdfunding this thing. Yeah, no infinite rolling dice, fortunately. But I'm glad they were able to sort that out, because Axolotl with a Gun is a very good name.
That's great.
I'm sure it was a very great game.
There's flexibility to the kinds of stories that you tell with this. Ultimately, the sole truth is lie to him. Can you talk about like what some of those different kinds of stories can look like using this system?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have embedded the actual play that I mentioned that Sam made for Who Hurt You Actual Plays in the backer kit page so people can have a look. It's a 40-minute video, a nice quick playthrough that he did. And the story that he told was about a father and son. And there is some kind of horrible disaster going on outside. People keep showing up dead. And the him thinks it's somehow his fault. He's worried that he is going out at night doing something that he doesn't remember. And Sam, as the liar, is telling him over and over, no, it's not you. You're imagining it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. As time passes and things get worse and worse outside. So he created this really kind of almost horror type intimate story of two people living in a kind of denial about what's going on outside their door, which is really fascinating. One of the playtests, they told a story about another family drama, actually, about a child asking where their dad is and the mum lying, saying, oh, he's just gone out, he'll be back soon, when actually he's left for good. And they're not ready to tell that story. Mm-hmm. So people have already made some incredibly like deep and like what's the word really affecting and quite intense stories just sitting on their own for an hour playing this game with some wooden blocks and some tarot cards, which is wonderful. Like, what you want as a game designer is for people to take what you've made and do something you could never have thought of, right? I really think that designing TTRPGs is kind of, it's collaborating with somebody who you haven't met yet. You do your part, you make the game, and then everyone who picks up that game is now your collaborator, and they're going to create a story with what you started and make something different. And it's been so exciting just to see already that I've had so many different stories coming back to me of like, I played it and I did this. I know a friend of mine, I don't think she's actually done it yet, but her plan is she wants to use it to tell a story about a woman who's cheating on her wife and is lying about what's happening. So that's really exciting. Yeah, obviously, it's about lying. It's about deception. These stories tend to be kind of dark so far. I'd love to see if somebody picks it up and tells a really silly story about an inconsequential lie. And how does that work out? Do you end up with a very slapstick kind of farcical lie that gets sillier and sillier instead of these kind of more dark tales? I think the game has the potential to do that. But maybe my friends are just kind of like really dark people. I don't know.
Knowing some of the folks you've listed, I know some of them are.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
I'm imagining like a fun thing could be like, you know, like a... You could play like the sitcom-y thing of somebody ate somebody's lunch in an office and it's just lying about that. Like, I feel like there's fun ways where you could get really, really particular about a very small white lie.
I think you really could, actually. There's mechanics around when you draw the tarot cards, depending on what suit that kind of tells you, guides you in what kind of way you're manipulating them. So one suit might be, oh, appeal to their emotions, or appeal to logic and try to out-reason them. Or it might be kind of try to intimidate them and make them back down. And I love the idea of applying all these manipulation tactics to convincing someone you did not steal their lunch from the office fridge. I think that's great.
My immediate thought was like, two pets, like a dog and a cat, one of them like destroyed a rug or something, and now they're trying to convince the owner that it wasn't them.
I love that. Okay, as soon as this is done, I'm sending you to the working files because I want to see what you do. This is great. This is brilliant. Like, this is what I really hoped. Like, this is why I made the game quite open-ended. And yeah. I know that maybe for people who are newer to solo games, they might prefer something that's a bit more structured. But I wanted to make something that was quite minimalist and really had that potential to be like, pick it up and go where it takes you. Like, what is your relationship to lying and deception? And what kind of story do you want to tell within that framework? Do you want to do something silly? Do you want to do something sad? Do you want to do something that starts silly and gets sad? That's kind of a brand right. That I think a lot of actual play people have. So... I think there's a lot of potential there, and it's exciting to hear even you two saying these ideas. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what I want. Hooray.
There's so much fertile ground there when a game is so enmeshed in like lies and deceit, because there's such opportunity for like multiple stories and dramatic irony. Because there's whenever you're telling a lie, there is the story of the lie, there's the story of the truth, and there is the story, there's the tension of will the lie be found out. So there's always like multiple stories at play. Which also allows you to just have those moments of dramatic irony where, like, the lie is informing what is actually true and the truth is commenting on what is a lie. And so just by playing through, you're going to find those moments because it's forcing you to create multiple threads at the same time. And you're going to just stumble upon those cool ways of how those things interact. I think it's really fun.
That's such a nice insight. Yeah, that's kind of, I think, quite an interesting thing about the way this narrative builds through this game is, as you say, the lies you choose will, by inference, build the reality of the situation around them.
Yeah.
The highest pledge tier on the crowdfunder is that I will make each person who backs at that level a unique 8-page mini zine, which is just a piece of A4 paper that I'm going to fold into a miniature 8-page zine. And I've said it will be full of either lies or truths about myself, but I won't tell you which.
Love it.
Yeah.
And already... I haven't started making them as yet because I'm going to see how many I need to make first, but I promise they're all going to be unique. Everyone will get different things in theirs. But already trying to think about what I'm going to put in there, I'm like, when it is lies, that kind of tells a truth in the fact it's a lie.
Yeah.
Whatever you decide to say, you are implying something about the reality of the situation. And I also think it's going to be fun to try and create something which is not obvious, whether it's all lies or all truths. I think I'm going to have some fun there. What am I giving away about myself to people who give me money? I don't know. But we'll find out. We'll find out if people decide that their zines are truths or lies.
That's great. So I want to get in. We've mentioned the tarot cards and the tumbling block, but I want to talk a little bit more detail. How does the gameplay of this game look? Like, what is a turn? How does the story sort of unfold through these two like mechanical objects?
The way it works essentially is you decide first what your premise is, what your kind of what we talked about earlier. You know, your two pets and you're blaming each other for ruining the rug. Then you're going to set up your block tower, as you normally would in a nice stable tower. You're going to shuffle your tarot deck, and then you're going to pull out, just keep drawing until you get 4 minor arcana of different suits, the minor arcana being kind of like the number cards of each different suit. You're going to lay those out in front of you. and those are your story. And once you have that, you're ready to begin. Each turn, you draw a new tarot card. And if it's a minor arcana, you compare it to your story there and see if it's higher or lower. If it's higher, then he believes you, the thing you've just told him, and you turn the card over. If it's lower, he has doubts. There's a table, depending on how much lower the card is, which tells you what happens. Maybe you have to pull more blocks, or maybe your dishonesty score will go up. Maybe your desperation score will go up. Those are these two numerical things you're keeping track of. The higher your dishonesty gets, the more blocks you're going to pull every time you're prompted to pull blocks. The higher your desperation gets, that's going to impact the ending when we get there. So you keep going, and that's the loop. You pull the card, you pull blocks, you put them on the top of the tower, you draw a new card. The major arcana all have unique prompts, two for each. So whether you draw it upright or reversed, there's a different prompt, which is a special prompt that relates to the meaning of that card in tarot. And again, you just keep playing until either you flipped all four of your story cards, which means you've finished your story, or the tower falls. At that point, you're going to go to the ending page, and depending on those dishonesty and desperation scores, you're going to get a different ending prompt. And again, these endings are not strong, definitive paragraphs telling you exactly what happened. They are prompts as well to say, this is kind of how this scene ends. You decide what that looks like in your story. And that's really it. It's cards and it's blocks and it's telling lies to yourself in a room, in your imagination. But people who have played it so far really seem to enjoy it, which makes me very happy. And obviously, I've played it so much now. I've played it ad nauseum to check it works, and I've had a good time with it. So maybe I just like lying. Don't leave that in. Oh, you can if you want. It's too late now.
No, we're definitely going to take it out. Or will we?
Or will you? Depends on how funny this moment gets.
The more we do it, the more we have to keep it in.
I'll also give another shout out to lovely Darcy at EUphoria, who actually made a 60-second short on YouTube of them explaining the rules, probably much more efficiently than I just did. So if you go to youtube.com/@EUphoriaAP, you'll find a nice 60-second short where they just go, here's how to play lie to him, and they show you the visuals. So there you go. There's another quick summary if you need it.
We'll throw it in the show notes as well. People can check that out.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind.
Michelle, is this your first Zine Month project?
It is. It's my first time crowdfunding something. It's so exciting. I've been kind of noodling about with writing small games for a while, but I only started putting them kind of online for anyone else to see in 2025. I started an itch page and started throwing a few things up that I'd made, starting very, very small with just like little one-page tiny mini games. And Lie to Him is probably the most elaborate thing that I've made. Again, I use that SRD developed by Innocent Goblin TTRPGs, which allowed me to feel confident that I had a basic rule set that had been tested. And as much as I broke it in the demo, I managed to fix it by the final release. So it allowed me to build something more in depth. But I knew that my kind of skills in terms of visual art were not at the level to make it what I wanted it to be. So really the crowdfunder is so that I can pay the amazing artists that I've kind of recruited to help me out here. And they are amazing. I'll go through them if that's
please,
all right.
Please, yeah, please.
So first off, I really wanted a lovely cover, a really unique cover for the zine, rather than just the word Lie to Him, which is probably the most what I could achieve. So I got in touch with Jen Vaughan, who is a fantastic cartoonist, comic artist, as well as a game designer in their own right. They're from the US, now based in France, and they make really beautiful art, as well as being available for commissions. So I got in touch with Jen and said, hey, can you do me some kind of cool atmospheric artwork involving skeletons for my zine? And they said, absolutely, I can, and sent me over some concept sketches, which I was so in love with immediately. A couple of them are on the back of kit page of the early concept sketches. We're still working right now to refine exactly what the cover's going to end up looking like, but we have the pearls of the idea there. And because we've hit the stretch goal, the first stretch goal already, which is mad to say because it's less than 24 hours since it launched when we're recording this. But we've hit the first stretch goal, I'm also going to commission Jen to do two additional illustrations, which will be spot art inside of the zine. And they're, again, going to be kind of playing with the themes of skeletons. I'm really into skeletons with this game. There's something about the idea of skeletons as being like exposing that there's something like you're seeing through to the core of somebody if you're seeing the skeleton, that I kind of wanted to play with the theme of lying. And also something a little bit absurd and off-kilter about doing all the art with skeletons instead of living people that I kind of wanted to insert too, to make the sense of like, you're off balance in this game. You're trying to lie and you're trying to figure it out. Your Gromit on the train putting down the train tracks in front of you.
Classic.
That, you know, but you know, I couldn't steal their copyright, so we went with skeletons instead. So yes, Jen is working on the artwork. Absolutely so excited for Jen Vaughan's contribution. And then in terms of laying out the book, I'm working with Francita Soto, who goes by Francita online. She is incredible. She has credits in, I think, over 50 TTRPGs over the last 7 years, doing layout and logo design and all graphic design, all sorts of wonderful things. So I knew straight away, like, I could trust her to make it beautiful. And I really just sent her a text document and said, Francita, will this fit in a 12-page zine? Have I understood how layout works? Will this work? And she went, yeah, sure, I can do that. What are your visual references? And I said, I don't know. I made her a mood board based off like just pulling different images offline. And said something like this, and she went, got it. Sent me a sample page, like, basically the next day, and, like, the heart eyes emoji was me. I was like, Francita, you've understood what I wanted, even though I couldn't articulate it. So she's incredible. Francita's going to be laying out the zine. And then the final collaborator, which came in quite late in the game, and I'm so excited about, is Alina Yanuba, who is a web developer and also a massive TTRPG fan. She got in touch with me. We both know each other through the Gauntlet Gaming, which is Jason Cordova's TTRPG kind of community. We're both part of that. She's developing the character keeper for Jason's upcoming game. And we met chatting on Discord, and she said, hey, I saw your game Lie to Him. I really want to make a mobile app based on a TTRPG for my portfolio. Can I use Lie to Him? Can I do it? And I was like, yes, of course you can, but also I'm going to pay you for that, Alina.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited, because she basically said, we can make an app that anyone who buys the game will be able to download. You know, when they buy the game, they'll get an access key to download it for free. And then if you don't have access to a physical tumbling block tower or tarot cards, then the app will do that kind of random number generation, if you like, as though you're pulling blocks off a tower and see if it falls or not.
Very cool.
And I'm just so excited about that, because one of the things I was concerned about with this game is it requires a lot of additional pieces,
sure,
which aren't included, you know, to be able to play it. But what Alina's developing is a way that actually anyone can play it, and you don't have to. You can play it on the bus or something during your commute. You can sit with your phone and play the game, which is really exciting. Sent me a few early concepts of how it's going to look, and she's hit the vibes perfectly. So I'm so excited about that. And I'm so grateful to Alina, because she just came to me and was like, hey, what if I did this? So I was like, that's a great idea I would never have thought of. Please do.
That rules.
So yeah, that's my third collaborator. So excited.
This is like a truth I found about the tabletop industry, is that people are really excited to like work on other people's projects and collaborate and make cool stuff together. That like, I always stress to people whenever someone's like, oh, I want to like work with this person, but I don't know them or whatever. I'm like, hey, just send them a message. I bet that, like, dollars to donuts, they will be excited, if nothing else, to hear that you're interested in their game. And we'll probably be interested in like, yeah, let's make a cool thing together. Because every time you collaborate with someone, you get surprised by your own project again, which is always a thrill to see something in a new light that you've made.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a collaborative, welcoming community. Everybody just wants to help each other make cool stuff. And everyone's each other's biggest cheerleader. I mean, you guys are doing this, like spotlighting creators who are crowdfunding, because you're part of that ecosystem of supporting each other. And it's so appreciated. It's genuinely wonderful. I'm continually a bit verklempt about how much support I've gotten already for Lie to Him. And hopefully it reflects that I'm always trying to be a big cheerleader for everyone else's cool stuff. So hopefully that's coming back around now. Because yeah, it's also working with BackerKit actually has been really nice. I didn't know what it would be like. I've never crowdfunded before.
Sure.
But they have a Discord server which you get added into, where if you have any questions, the staff are like on it immediately to help you out. And the rest of the community, everybody else who's doing Zinetopia, which is BackerKit's zine event for February, are all in the same sort of channels and can compare notes. And does anyone want to collaborate? Does anyone want to share ideas? Like, everybody's working together. So that's been really lovely, a little microcosm of how the TTRPG industry as a whole are looking out for each other. Everyone doing this Zinetopia event have been looking out for each other in a really lovely way too. It's been so nice to be part of.
Has there been anything that you've learned from this first crowdfunding experience, or from the start of this first crowdfunding experience, that you think is worthwhile, like, pointing out to someone who's never done a crowdfunder before?
Yeah, I'd say the big thing is give yourself more time than you think to build stuff before the launch day. It launched, so it's the 3rd of February. I'm working backwards. My crowdfunder launched on the 2nd of February. I probably started building it in mid-December, and I was still kind of frantically making changes, like a few hours before the crowdfunder went live. So give yourself more time than you need. Backerkit, and I assume all crowdfunders at this point, they have a functionality to make a teaser page, which you can share before the project goes live, and basically has a sign up so anyone who's interested can put in their email, and then they'll get an email to say, hey, it's live now, come and support it. And it's so, so, so important, I think, to be pushing that teaser page out nice and early, put some information on it about what the game's going to be, about who's going to be working on it, why someone should be interested, and start sharing that and sending it to people who you think might be interested nice and early in the process. Because I can't believe I'm saying this, but Lie to Him hit its initial funding goal in the first hour after it went live.
Hell yeah.
which is wild. But looking at the, because you know, in the back end there's all these tracking things. It shows you like how many of your backers were people who'd signed up to that teaser page. The majority were people who'd signed up. So the reason that happened is because I luckily started building it quite early on and have been sharing that out quite regularly. I think the other thing I'd say is a lot of people feel a bit nervous about posting a lot about their projects. They worry that people are going to get bored or be annoyed. They're not.
Don't think about that.
They're not seeing most of them.
Yeah, especially like my main platform now is Blue Sky, which genuinely doesn't have an algorithm. Like it's just everything just goes in on the homepage in the order it came up. So the majority of what you're posting, people aren't seeing. And a friend of mine who studied marketing said the rule of thumb in marketing apparently is someone has to see something 7 times before they actually retain it.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, how many times have you posted and how many times has each person in your audience or, you know, your friends, whoever you're speaking to, actually seen it before they're going to remember, oh, yeah, that game you've been talking about, I should sign up for that. I'd say that's the other big thing I've learned is I was really anxious, like, oh, I'm going to be talking about it too much. I should only post once a week. And then I was like, maybe I should post a bit more than once a week. And it reflects, like, because you can see how many people have signed up to your teaser page. You can see now that I've launched when people are making pledges. Mm-hmm. And it aligns very closely to when I make a post or when somebody else shares one of my posts, immediately the number goes up. People will see it. Every time you do it, a few people who haven't seen it before or who didn't take notice of it before will. So that was the other big thing I learned that I think everyone could probably stand to learn is don't be afraid to talk about your stuff. If people are following you on socials, it's because they want to know about you and what you're doing. So tell them.
100%. This is the thing that like I had to learn like and drive home for myself. And then this zine month I'm publishing for Dylan Appelian and Robin Ekberg. And I literally messaged them yesterday about halfway through the day. I was like, I know you probably already feel annoying, but keep the posting energy going for the rest of the day. Like, you're not being annoying. Please keep posting. And they both were like, okay, thank you. Yeah, we will. It's like, yeah,
it's so
you gotta.
True. You've got to, like, you mentioned my current stretch goal is Michelle pays herself because I did the thing creatives do where I made a budget and didn't account for actually paying me for any of the work of writing a game and running a crowdfunder and fulfilling all the orders. So I thought, you know what? I've now officially made enough money because we've hit our stretch goals to pay all the creatives. The next goal is pay me. And I was so nervous to, like, post about that, to be like, hey, I'm maybe going to pay myself some money for the work I've done. But then I did it earlier today. I tweeted out, this is my next stretch goal. And then immediately a few more pledges came in. So again, don't be afraid to just be loud and proud about what you're doing is a lesson I'm going to probably keep learning all month.
Yeah. I will also just say, like, proof positive that talking about your game helps is that we know we got a bunch of submissions from people who wanted to be a part of this, like, zine month thing that we do on Talk at the Table every year. And one of the first things as we're just looking through the list is kind of like, which of these projects have we heard of? Not that that like necessarily influences who or what gets on, but it's like, those are the first ones we're going to look at because we've heard of them and we have a little bit of an inkling of what they are. And Lie to Him was a project that we had heard of. So we're like, oh, right, I've heard about this one. I'm interested. Let me check the press kit that they attached. Let me check the backer kit page. And now it just moves it to the top of the list by virtue of I've heard about it and I want to learn more about it. Like, it really does pay off.
That's so great. And it's not like I'd never made a press kit before, but I tried it for this game and it turns out it's not too hard. You just need to put some basic information, maybe some pictures, and say, this is what the game is. This is who I am. Here's how you get in touch with me. here's who else is working on it. Here's a link to the page. Hey, you have a press kit now. You've done it. So I think another thing that people might find it a bit intimidating if they've never crowdfunded before, like, oh, it's all too much. I've never done any of this stuff before. But again, there's so many useful, friendly people who will help you. And give it a try, because the worst thing that can happen is that it's not perfect, and that's okay. Hardly anything in this world is, so give it a go.
So, Michelle, before we start rounding out to a close here, let's get some of the details. I know we've gone through them a little bit in, like, piecemeal throughout. Where are you funding? When are you funding? And what can people get when they support Lie to Him this Zine Month?
Lie to Him is funding through BackerKit as part of the Zinetopia event. So it's funding right now until the 27th of February on BackerKit. I've met my goals on my stretch goals. Hooray. So if you back right now, you're going to get all the stuff. How exciting. At the time of recording, I'm aiming for the £1,000 mark. So Michelle can pay herself. There might be a cheeky extra stretch goal coming if we go above that, with lots of time still to go. So check it out. The tiers are essentially, there's a £2 tier, which is just, hey, I think it's cool what you're doing, but I don't have the funds to buy the game right now, but I just want to say hi. Thank you for that. If you give me £2, I will email you a lie about myself to say thank you. I'm writing a lot of lies about myself at the moment. The next tier up is the £5 tier that gets you a digital copy of the game. Everybody who gets the game also gets a plain text version, just for access reasons. If it's for any reason it's hard for you to read it when it's laid out pretty with art, there's also a plain text version for you to use. Also, at this point, everyone who gets a copy of the game will get a free access key for the app that Alina is making, which will allow you to play the game without a tower or without tarot cards.
Hell yeah.
So that will be included for free as well now, because we've hit that goal. The £10 tier is for a physical copy of the zine. So you'll get the 12-page physical zine with the beautiful artwork from Jen and the beautiful layout from Francita. You will also get the digital stuff. You'll also get the app key. And of course, I'll still send you a lie about me. Of course I will. I'll email you a lie about myself. next up from there, we have the £20 tier, which is all the zines. I mentioned that I have an itch page. I will send you everything, digital versions of everything that I sell on itch right now. There's a lot of stuff in there. There's some silly one-pagers. There's a GM-less TTRPG called March, Winds, April, Showers that I'm very proud of. There's some silly nonsense, and there's some sad nonsense. There's a photo zine about going outside and playing a game about making a little town with the things you find. I will send you all of that stuff as itch.io, like, download keys, so you can get them all for free if you back at £20, as well as, of course, the physical zine and the digital zine and the app. And I'll email you a lie about myself. Of course I will. And then the final tier, which is limited numbers, I think I'm going to cap it at, I was going to cap it at 10, but if I'm feeling generous, I might up it to 15. All of the things I've just said. And I will also make a unique, one of a kind, everyone gets a different one, 8-page miniature zine, a piece of A4 folded into a miniature zine, which has either a lie or a truth about myself on every page, but I won't tell you which. So those are the different pledge tiers to support Lie to Him, and please do. I'm really proud of what I've made and what the beautiful artists who I'm working with are helping me to make, and I think you'll like it.
I don't know why I couldn't get out of my head, but there's such a great meta joke of the email that you send to everyone with a lie about yourself. You just don't send it, but send one email to everyone saying, I lied.
That's so funny.
Oh man, that would save me a lot of time, because my God, I have a text document that's just every time I think, it's actually kind of hard to think of things that aren't true about yourself.
Sure.
Because I really want to send everyone something different.
Yeah.
And like every time I'm like, what should I say? I'm like, I just keep thinking of things that are true. And I'm like, that's true though. So yeah, it's maybe I should just do what you said, Ryan, and just say I lied and save myself a lot of time and brain power.
I think everyone very would be good enough, yeah.
It's very funny.
Michelle, I think as we round the corner to the end here, we have one last question we like to ask everyone who comes on this show, and that is, what are you bringing to the table? And this is normally our cute way of asking you for a recommendation, either of a game or a movie or a book or something in the world, but for Zine Month specifically, we'd love for you to recommend another project that is funding during Zine Month. So Michelle Kelly, what are you bringing to the table?
I would love for you to check out Lalion Publishing's one-page bundle. This is volume 2. They have made a one-page bundle before. This is the second one. Anya, who is Lalion Publishing, is making, I believe, 6 one-page games. 3 of them she's already made. three more are going to be inspired by backers. So anyone who backs the project can give ideas. It can be a line of text. It can be a concept. It can be some emojis. She's made a game based on emojis before. And she is going to pick her favorite ideas and make some one-page games. They're going to be delivered in a beautiful folder, like a keepsake folder that has nice artwork on it, so that you can, as you continue to collect more one-page games at conventions and things, add to it and keep all your one-pages safe. Anya is not only a good friend, she's a terrific game designer. She's made some great longer games and solo games, but her one pages are fantastic. The first volume had one called Honk Honk, which is just about you being a horrible goose, inspired by the Goose video game.
No notes.
She's exactly. It's so much fun. I've played Honk Honk. It's really fun. This new bundle is going to include a game called The Cassandra Project, which is about being on a doomed spaceship, but no one believes you that it's all going to go wrong. There's going to be a group kind of party one pager game called I Heard a Rumor, where you all make up rumors about each other and have to kind of build a story around all the rumors you're making up. And she's making some new games as well. I'm really excited for Anya. I'm definitely backing it. And I think everyone should check out Lalion Publishing's one-page bundle.
Excellent. We'll put that link in the show notes below so people can check it out.
Thank you.
So Michelle, thank you so much for coming to the table. Do you want to let people know where they can find you online, what other stuff you're working on, and remind them again where to back Lie to Him?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Michelle Kelly. You can find me on some of the social media platforms at Michellecopter. I'm an actor and a voice actor in real life, but I'm also a TTRPG designer, fancy that, and an actual play performer here in Games Life. You can usually find me on EUphoria Actual Plays. It's a channel that I help run, which is all about showcasing European actual play talent and as much as possible showcasing European games. We actually have done a live stream, myself and one of the other staff members who I've mentioned today, Darcy, got on a live stream and we showcased basically every single European Zine Month project that we could find.
Nice.
So check that out. It's on youtube.com/@euphoriaap. The VOD of that is up now. So if you're looking for more amazing Zine Month projects to back, especially if you're based on this side of the pond and shipping stuff over from America isn't going to be so easy for you. We've tried to showcase all the stuff that's happening in Europe, so you can check out that stream and check out EUphoria. We do lots of great actual play content. In terms of me, you can find me on the internet. I'm at Michellecopter. And you can find Lie to Him on BackerKit until the 27th of February.
Thank you so much. All of those links are going to be in the show notes below. Go and back this project so Michelle can pay herself. We want to make sure everyone's getting paid.
Yay! I love it.
And thank you so much for joining us for this show.
Thank you sincerely for having me. It's really just, as I said, it's so wonderful to see the amount of support this community has for each other and for creators. And it's a wonderful thing you're doing, not just because you invited me on, but I'm sure for everybody else, having their projects showcased in this way is really valuable. So thank you very, very much for having me. It's been great.
I think it's ultimately selfish. We want to find more game designers making cool stuff so we can play more games. We're not doing this for you. We're doing this for us. We want brand new games. We want cool designers. Come for a zine month. Let's do it.
Let's do it. My wallet will suffer, but boy, will I play some games.
Yeah, goddamn right you will.
The Eternal Ruins is a new TTRPG based on the fantasy world-building of artist Sam Carr. The Eternal Ruins are a vast and endless collection of corridors, chasms, towers, and gardens. In the Eternal Ruins, you will play as newly awakened wanderers, stone statues hatched to life as children, seeking solace and hope in the bright places of the ruins, safe from the despair that the darker, more hostile corners might hold. Inspired by games like Eco, Hollow Knight, and Zelda Breath of the Wild, The Eternal Ruins explores themes of spirits and demons, hope and despair, exploration and identity. Based off the award-winning Wild Words engine by Felix Isaacs that is used to power one of our favorite games, The Wild Sea. Explore the Eternal Ruins on YouTube and back the game on Kickstarter starting January 27th. The Wanderer's Bookshop is a solo journaling bookshop simulator that is currently crowdfunding on BackerKit. In The Wanderer's Bookshop, you are guided by tarot cards to collect stories, read books, and find your own white whale. You play as the impassioned curator of a magical bookshop, a wanderer with a burning literary question that the bookshop will help you solve. Along the way, you stoke the magic through caretaking, story collecting, and mixed media journaling. Discover the bookshop's history and the curators before you. Help other wanderers find books for their quests, piece together fragments to create something new, and make or find your own sources to solve the mystery that is your burning question. All the while, creating a keepsake journal, a magical item that will live on your very own bookshelf. Support this project on BackerKit by searching The Wanderer's Bookshop or go to tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks. Hey everyone, it's Brian, and we've been doing something really cool on our Patreon, and I want to tell you about it. Since we launched the Patreon, we've been putting out bonus actual play episodes every month, but recently, we've been doing something even cooler. We've been inviting some of our favorite game designers on the show to GM their own games. And it has been really, really cool. Recently, we had Felix Isaacs join us for a 3-episode game of The Wild Sea, where I got to play a Mothrin Raveler conspiracy theorist who may very well be my favorite character ever. Then we had Caleb Zane Hewitt run a 3-part game of Triangle Agency, and we were joined by friend of the show, Taylor Moore, who you may know from his work producing, editing, and composing for Worlds Beyond Number. And just a few days ago, we released part 1 of our 2-part game of Die, GM'd by Kieran Gillen, and featuring special guest and friend of the pod, Nathan Yaffe from Drawfee. Kieran is running us through a scenario called Total Party Kill, so you know it's going to get messy, messy, messy. This has truly been one of my favorite things that we've done on our Patreon so far, but we also have roundtable discussions from Talk of the Table, including a recent episode featuring Brennan Lee Mulligan, Dr. Emily Friedman, and Quinns from Quinns Quest, talking about actual play and learning TTRPGs. We also have ad-free episodes, original music, cast talkbacks, and even some borderline unplayable original games. So if you want all of that amazing bonus content, and if you want to support a show you clearly like because you've listened to this whole ad, then go to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. Your support means the world to us and helps us keep making this show and a whole bunch more we have planned for 2026. So jump on over to the Dice Pool, patreon.com/manysidedmedia. We'll see you there.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest, familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task, slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tales Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to Talk of the Table. Today we are joined by Dan Walter and Tyler Palma to talk about their new game, Worry, Fear, Horror. Dan, Tyler, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi, hello.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, really excited to talk about this game and just continue celebrating Zine Month as we've been doing this whole month.
Yeah, very cool. Excited to be here.
It's been a good Zine Month so far. It's Zine Week, I guess, as what we've gone through at the moment, but so far, so good.
Just getting started.
As of time of recording, you guys have already funded, so congratulations on that. Now we're just trying to add a whole bunch of cherries on top.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So let's dive in about this game. Dan, can you give us the top line pitch? What is Worry, Fear, Horror?
So WFH, Worry, Fear, Horror, is a text-based TTRPG where you play as a group of remote workers who are all being inundated with eldritch horrors, and the only thing they have to help get through it is their company group chat. I like to say it's kind of like Alice is Missing and this Discord has Discord has ghosts in it.
But someone needs to make that game right now.
I'm writing it down right now, yeah.
Yeah, that was an immediate sort of touchstone for me was when I saw that it was text-based was Alice is Missing, which is just one of my favorite games and like one of the most evocative RPG experiences I've had. So how does this work? How does this text-based game work? How does gameplay look when you get into like setting the game up and then getting into it proper?
So it's all just over text message, over group chat. There is a person who is like the game master, who's like the supervisor, the general manager, if you want to keep being the GM, who essentially directs the players through a series of prompts that they are given through a series of cards. Just uses a standard deck of cards that the GM pulls, and then using that prompt, the players have something that happens. Each player has certain moves that they can do to help each other out and get through it.
And then, Tyler, in terms of the art direction for this game, what were the touchstones for you in how you wanted this game to come together in a visual sense?
So when Dan and I first talked about what the game's art was going to look like, we really kind of harped on this idea of the horror in the mundane and like kind of things that are scary about just like everyday existence. In terms of touchstones for art, I mean, obviously wanted to incorporate a lot of like eldritch themes, otherworldly horror, interdimensional horror, things like that. And so blending that with the kind of scary aspect of like having your back to the door when you're working at home type of vibes.
Yeah, there is always the terror, especially with horror games, like the more regular you can make something, the scarier it can become. Because when you know there is something evil happening behind you, but everything looks normal, that's way scarier. When there's a TV post or whatever, then you know it's like, I know where it's coming from.
Don't turn around, by the way.
Excuse me?
We've always got cameras on when our backs are turned to the door.
That's true.
But that assumes that the cameras can see all things in the spectral dimensions.
Oh, Brian, don't like that. I actually don't like that thought. Take it back.
Never.
I'm writing it down.
You gotta stay prepared. Stay vigilant.
So when it comes to these things that you're sort of like making horrifying, what are the kinds of things that the characters in this game are facing as they play through?
A lot of the kind of the horrors, I've tried to really hone in on the horror of like isolation and like loneliness, because I think that's something a lot of people who like work from home and are remote workers, especially like at the height of quarantine and stuff, when like I lived alone at that time and like I was working from home, and there was just like so many times where it'd be like, oh, I'd be in class, I'd be doing something, and then I'd look around and realize, oh, I'm completely alone. I don't have any like community around me. I don't have any support around me. So it's really kind of isolating the characters from the outside world, and then even further isolating them from each other. And then, bringing down the horrors of kind of having to like recognize your own inner demons as well.
But in a way that's fun.
Yeah.
Because you get to do it with your friends, right? So at the end of the day, you know, you're playing this game where you're all alone, but you're working together to kind of overcome that, which I think is really cool.
I am really excited to play, because I've never gotten to play Alice is Missing. I've never done This Discord Has Ghosts in It. And obviously, because it's a brand new game, I've never played WFH. But there is something really exciting about that element of like text-based, of like playing with the isolation, the loneliness by not connecting in via like, you know, voice chat or video chat, and like using that kind of, you know, Elliot, I mean, you would know this from the time we have, like playing in a space where forcing you to be in that physical space and also inhabit a character that's in that same physical space is really exciting and fun and like immersive immediately, because you are, you know, doing the thing that your character is doing in a certain sense.
Yeah, 100%. I'm curious about like the added GM role to this, just like, because like the touchstones you cited, like Alice is Missing and This Discord Has Ghosts in It, like there's obviously a facilitator kind of player, but I'm very interested in this like general manager character. What does that side of play look like for this game?
So that this game actually went through several iterations. It actually started as a solo RPG, as kind of like a, like, it was going to be like a weekly report kind of thing of like, you're a work from home worker who's having like Eldritch Abominations. And it was like, you're writing your weekly report about that. Then it was actually at PAX Unplugged. My friend Lexi did a live show of, it was like a Severance themed Call of Cthulhu game. Mm-hmm. And that like, that hit something in my brain that was like, because I had already had, you know, many bits of the solo version. I was like, that hit into my brain that I was like, this could be a group game a la Alice is Missing. And I think that'd be really fun. And then as I was doing that, I was doing a GM-less, and I kept running into roadblocks where it was like, well, it'd make more sense if someone else was here to describe, you know, the horrors, describe, like, here's what's happening, and kind of give that, make it so that kind of everyone has the same experience versus if everyone was pulling a prompt and interpreting it differently, there can be, like, confusion and stuff. So the game master's main job is interpreting the prompts and then delivering that to the players. And obviously, you know, two different game masters can interpret the prompts differently. I leave them a little bit open-ended for people.
It's interesting to hear about a game starting as a solo game and becoming a, like, multiplayer GM'd game, like, going from one end of the spectrum all the way through GM-less play into, like, GM'd play. Did you find any vestigial organs of solo play made a really good fit in, like, GM'd multiplayer play?
I mean, I think, like, the one thing that's kind of stayed the same throughout is the kind of card and prompt mechanic, which I think is a staple of, like, GM-less games in general. And I'm sure there's other, like, there are GM'd games that have, like, card and prompt, you know, stuff in them. But that's definitely something that I personally haven't played with as a designer or even as, like, a player. But having someone else kind of tell you, here's what you need to tell the players, but it's up to you kind of to interpret how you do that and the details of it. I think that's probably the main element of solo play that is, you know, kind of stayed throughout.
I'm always curious when it comes to like a timed horror experience. Like we're big suckers here for 10 Candles. Does this game have happy endings potentially, or is it one of those horror games where we're always doomed?
It does have happy endings, because the whole framing is kind of, this is a, because the company you work for is like run by eldritch beings. You don't really like, you know that in world, but it's like kind of framed as like, this is like a group exercise, as like, you know, group training for your remote workers. So like, there is the happy ending of like, everyone passes and everyone, you know, gets to go out into the world again. But there's definitely the other, you know, aspect of like, oh, everyone is stuck in their own bubble of like darkness and loneliness at the end of the game. So, and like succumbs to the like insanity. So it has full gambit of endings for sure.
I think it kind of wraps around back to the horror of the mundane as well, of like, is the happy ending just that everybody's kind of used to what's going on, right? Like, right. It just become commonplace that these horrible things are happening, but it's sort of in the background. It's like, that's the entity. He's cool. You know, he's chill. I have reports that I have to do, but I'm still getting paid. So
I feel like it reminds me of like, if you're Magnus Archives fans at all, like some of the episodes of Magnus Archives, it's just like that team in the office being like, oh, another horror beyond my comprehension on this tape.
Here we go. Yeah, very much that. Very much Night Vale. Yeah.
That's sick.
And for this game, is there like a single in-world like universe or canon that people are playing in, or is there like a generation that an ability to generate your own kind of in-world office type thing that players will go through to start the game?
I kind of have my own like lore around the company, at the very least, of Blackwood Industries, which is the name of the company named after Algernon Blackwood, who's a eldritch horror writer. He wrote The Willows. It's kind of his most well-known book or story. I didn't want to name it after
the other
the
one.
Other one, you know? yeah. So I have like, you know, the lore about that and kind of about the company. But honestly, most of the lore is that like, you don't really know what the company does. Like, it's kind of a kind of harkening back to Severance with like Lumen. It's like, oh, could it be a pharmaceutical company? Do they do like tech? Like, what is like, you know, what do they even do? And yeah, and it kind of, you know, it's like you work from home and you just kind of get emails and sit in Zoom meetings. And you don't really know what the end goal is, which I feel like is kind of a common occurrence for a lot of people.
And then, Tyler, flipping it back to you, when it comes to, you know, we're in zine month, this is going to be a physical zine. How did you think about, like, the look and feel of, like, how this game is going to come together visually?
So when we were discussing the way that we wanted the aesthetic to be, Dan and I have worked together on a couple of other projects at this point. We've been collaborating in one way or another since 2021, I think, 2022, when we met. Yeah, and on a couple of TTRPGs since then. So we were trying to figure out what would make this one different and how to kind of give it its own identity. And I think one of the things that we're looking at is the use of the isolation in terms of like a design sense as well, of like isolating out colors, isolating out forms and things, so that as you progress through the zine, things are kind of being stripped away and you're left with this sense of like, a very lonely kind of bleak corporatism. And hopefully I can pull that off.
I always love seeing how art can change throughout a book. We were just talking with Matthew Ayers from Blightfall about how that game will slowly like shift from like white pages to black pages as like the blight and the evil stuff starts to come in and corrupt the book. And the same thing with like, you know, Paint the Town Red. They had like their blood gutters like slowly getting more and more bloody from the center of the book as you got further in, and even Mothership going from like white to black pages depending on stuff. It's always fun to see the art direction and the layout start to help give you the vibe of what an arc of the story should be as you are reading it. It really just ends up helping the player experience, like, you know what you're looking for.
I agree. Yeah, and one of the things that I love most about making art is being able to provide a narrative through it. So not just like something nice to look at, but it's also kind of adding to the overall story of whatever's happening.
Any way you can add that little bit of extra definition to what a game is trying to be through like layout and art direction stuff, it just makes it that much easier to run play, like, to just like understand what the designer is going for and get into the proper like headspace and mind space to get the most out of that game.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what brings y'all to Zine Month for this game? Why was this game the right fit for this sort of big, one of our favorite times of the year crowdfunding event around zines?
I mean, for me, I was, you know, already, like I said, kind of already working on it. I started working like back in like August, I think, was when I first started dipping my toes into like writing my, like throwing spaghetti on the wall, seeing what was sticking for this game. And then when Zine Month was like coming closer, I was like, well, should I do it or should I do it kind of on my own? And then I just kind of had the thought of like, well, why not? You know, it was a bit of like a might as well, more than anything. And it kind of gives me the boost to be like, let me finish this project. Like, let me like get this, like make this a complete, you know, thing to send out to people.
Obviously, we want to make something cool and good, but also being done with a project is better than never doing it and just kind of letting it sit and fester forever.
Don't let perfect be the enemy of good enough. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely that. So yeah, having kind of the hard deadline of, okay, end of February, we have to have something to present to people, is a good motivator to that idea.
And kind of turning to the physical production of this zine, can you guys tell us what can people get if they're backing this campaign?
Yeah, so there's obviously the game itself, either a physical or PDF version. We also have some motivational posters that Tyler has been working on that are takes the, you know, cheesy, weird, like, motivational posters you see in your office, but with, like, an eldritch twist to them. You know, like, sometimes it'll just say, like, confidence, and it's a horse on a beach or something. It's, like, kind of playing on that, and, like, you know, the horse is haunted.
Classic hang in there, baby, but it's an evil squirrel instead.
Exactly, yes. That was the first one we thought of, actually. Yeah. Yeah. As well as made some, like, corporate mugs and pens that we'd send out to people with the Blackwood logo. And then I also have our stretch goal at the moment is if we get to $1,500, I'm going to release I have a one-page Scrabble TTRPG that I've been working on. It uses a Scrabble board as like the, instead of dice, basically. And I was like, hey, if we get there, I'll send you this also. Cause I basically have that, cause I was working on that as my warm-up. I was right on that a little bit before I was working and then work on WFH. So that at this point is like a done thing also. And so that's our stretch goal at the moment, which we're close to.
As of time of recording, you guys are sitting at 1359. So 1500 is right around the corner. So by the time you're hearing this,
you're probably already
going to be getting a bonus one page game. So even more reason to back the game.
Yeah.
Dan, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to take us out with the question that we ask everybody who comes on the show, and that question is, what are you bringing to the table? Normally, this is our way of asking you for a recommendation of anything, could be movies, books, games, music, anything, but because it's Zine Month, we'd love it if you could give us a recommendation of another Zine Month project that you think is really cool that people should check out. Dan, why don't we start with you?
I'm trying to remember all of the zine. I mean, like, the first Zine Month project, the one that I'm the most excited to play is actually the one that you guys had earlier this week. I think the episode came out, Dylan's All's Fair.
Hell yeah.
Just because I love a little horny TTRPG. A little duet moment sounds good also. And I'll play anything Dylan makes. So that's, you know.
Me too.
Amen. And Tyler, what about you?
I have to go through and really dig into all of the other projects that are going on, but one that I did see that caught my eye immediately as a big sci-fi fan was Space Cat, I think is the name of it.
Ooh, okay, I haven't heard of that one yet.
It's a cat in space is what it looks like, and it looks really fun. I love the art style that they show on their page. Mm-hmm. So
hell yeah,
that is one that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, love the art for this. Oh my
yeah,
god.
It's really cool.
All right, where is it?
Brian, I'm gonna send you this page. It's so good. I'm dropping it in the chat.
I gotta see this.
The hero art just really fucking got me. That's so good.
Oh wow. This gives me slight vibes of Ion Heart.
Yeah.
Positive, not yet.
Positive, yeah.
Wow, they also did a surprisingly good job of they have a very limited number of assets, but they use them well. Well, this that is rad. Rules. Go check out Space Cat.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out Space Cat. That
Space Cat, a sci-fi adventure TTRPG. We'll put links to all these games in the show notes below. Dan and Tyler, thank you so much for coming to the table. Do you want to let people know where they can find you online if they're looking for you? And also just remind everybody where and when they can back WFH. Dan, let's start with you.
Yeah, you can find me anywhere online at Dan_the_Baker or Dan is baking. If you can't find me with one of those, I don't exist there. You can also find me on YouTube. I run Open Table Adventures is the name of my YouTube channel. And yeah, we'll be WFH is running until the 27th on BackerKit.
And Tyler, where can people find you online if they're looking for you?
If you're looking for me online, you can check out Instagram. I'm on there as Tyler Palma Illustrates. You'll see me. I post probably less frequently than I'd like, but you know, every once in a while, I dump kind of a backlog of things, so you'll get a surprise. You know, some things to look at one day.
You're doing the batch release schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to overwhelm people every single day. You have to look at something. You know,
you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to pace it out. Well, good luck with the rest of Zine Month. I hope you guys make that 1500 stretch goal and beyond.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this was a delight. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
And that is all for this episode of Talk of the Table. If you want to support what we do here at Talk of the Table, consider becoming a member of the Many-Sided Media Patreon. For just a couple of bucks a month, you can get access to ad-free episodes, bonus roundtables, bonus video episodes, bonus actual plays. We even release original music and some original games that may or may not even be playable. We're going to have fun trying. It's also the single best way to support what we do here at Talk of the Table. So if you like what we do, head on over there, support us even for just a month and download absolutely everything. It'll still be a huge help to helping us make this show, My First Dungeon, and more shows that we have planned for 2026. Rate, review, and follow Talk of the Table wherever you get your podcasts. And that's what the table is talking about. Bye-bye, everybody.